I noticed that my tie was on crooked. I better fix that, so. We have a different kind of a sermon today. In the sermon today, we're going to take a look at a story. We were asked to talk a lot about stories. We had a story in the sermonette. It was a good story. But we're going to take a look at an untold biblical story that maybe happened, maybe didn't. A story about which the Bible is actually silent. If this event really happened, the story is never recorded for us. Perhaps it was just too personal, too private, and Jesus chose not to have revealed what actually happened. I believe, though, there's a very good chance that this event actually did happen, and we can learn a lot from just considering that maybe it happened. Anybody got it figured out yet? I know I'm a bit mysterious sounding there, and you're not sure what I'm talking about. But the story I want to tell is the story of the relationship between Jesus Christ and his Father, not his relationship with God, the Father. Rather, I want for us to consider something that might have happened between Jesus and his father, Joseph. As you listen to the sermon today, keep in mind how young Jesus would have kept the fifth commandment to honor your father and your mother. We believe that Joseph most likely died sometime during the life of Jesus Christ, probably when he was a younger teenager. We really don't know. That's only a guess. But there is simply no mention of Joseph after Jesus was 12 years old. We have the incident at the temple, and then nothing after that. We know that he's not with Mary at the crucifixion, as Jesus assigns the care of his mother Mary to John. And so we don't know what happened, but the assumption is that he died sometime after Jesus was 12 years old, because we don't even have a reference to Joseph after that time. So in today's sermon, let's consider what may have happened. That's simply not recorded for us. But perhaps it happened. What if Joseph knew that he was dying and that he was not going to live to see Jesus grow up and fulfill his destiny? In other words, he wasn't killed in some accident or something, or died suddenly. He died over a period of days or weeks from an illness. So if that was the case, what if Joseph then knew that he only had a few days more to live? And before he died, he wanted to have that heartfelt father-to-son talk with Jesus. What might Joseph have said to Jesus if he knew he was not going to be there for him as he grew into his older teenage and then his adult years? Now, the Bible doesn't give us very many specifics at all about who Joseph was as a person. The Bible records no actual words that Joseph spoke. But we know from what's written about Joseph that he was a humble man who faithfully obeyed God. He honored others. He took responsibility upon himself and worked hard to provide for his family. He had a craft, a trade, a carpenter. Can conclude this simply because I believe God the Father would not have allowed Jesus to have been born into a family where the father was a deadbeat, where he was neglectful of his family, disobedient to God. I believe there's no doubt that Joseph was a man of integrity, of honor, and of great wisdom. So in light of all of this, let's listen in. Let's listen in on a deeply personal and private conversation that the dying Joseph might have had with young Jesus, now possibly a young teenager. Let's use the age 14 and place ourselves into the scene. There, lying on his bed, is Joseph. It's getting late in the evening, everything's quiet. Mary prepared a delicious meal for her young family, was still putting everything away. And there were now the younger children. We know that Jesus had four younger brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, Judas. At least two sisters are mentioned. So Jesus was the oldest of at least seven children. A lot of little kids running around. Perhaps they're outside playing. But Jesus goes inside the bedroom to check on his father, to make sure he's okay, that he doesn't need anything. And as he turns to leave, Joseph calls out to him, "Jesus, come. Come over here. Sit down beside me. I want to talk to you." And Jesus sits down on the edge of his father's bed, takes his father's hand, and says, "Yes, Abba, I'm here. What is it you want to tell me?" And Joseph begins. "Jesus, I feel my strength is failing, and I don't believe that I'm going to live much longer. It must be God's will for you to focus more on your spiritual father now than on me as your physical father. Remember, a couple of years ago, what you told us when we finally found you at the temple gate. We said, 'Where have you been?' And you said, 'You must be about your father's business.' And so you must. I know you have a great mission to be preparing for. God has blessed me and your mother so much to have been the ones chosen by your heavenly father to be your physical parents now. Jesus, I think my time in your life must come to a close." And Jesus begins to cry. "Please don't say that, Abba. I don't want you to die." "I know, son, I know. But we must trust our Father in heaven to know what's best. If it is his will for me to die now, then we know it must be for a good reason. You of all people know that we have to trust him and that he will always work things out for our good. You're very wise, my son. And I know that you know of things that I cannot know about now. But still, I have it in my heart to say some things to you that I want you to remember as you grow up and as you fulfill the very special purpose for your life. So listen to what I have to say." "Yes, Abba, I'm listening." And Joseph, the father of Jesus, begins to speak. "Jesus, you're very special to God. You know that. Always put him first in your life. And you're very special to your mother. Well, she loves you so much. Always look out for your mother. She depends on you. Love her back. And Jesus, choose your friends wisely. You're going to need them for support later. Always be a good boy. Be respectful, be humble, and be obedient to others. Always do your best at whatever you choose to do. Remember the things I taught you? Take care of your brothers and sisters. Oh, they look up to you. And I want you to be happy and filled with joy all the time. But stay away from evil and from dangerous things. I want you to pursue only what is true, what is good. Don't forget me, Jesus. I'll see you again soon. I love you so much. All right, while that conversation may not have literally taken place, I think there's a possibility something like that could have, because it just seems to me that God the Father would have given Joseph the Father a chance to say goodbye to his son, if it was his will for him to die, and for Jesus to have that special moment together with him before he died. Joseph wanted to be a good father to Jesus. He wanted to give him advice and guidance. And as I was preparing this sermon, I thought about what I would have wanted to say to my children if I knew I was going to die while they were still young. Thankfully, that didn't happen, but what could have happened? Those thoughts are what I drew upon to think about what Joseph may have said to Jesus. But regardless, what can we learn from going through this today? Is there a point to creating this hypothetical story that we don't know whether it happened or not? Well, I think so. I think we can learn something because I believe that our Father, God the Father, is telling us the same things right now. If God, our Father, could have a private conversation with us, just come down and talk with us and tell us what it is we need to do to prepare for the amazing destiny that awaits us, the purpose for which we are alive, I believe he would say the same things, give us the same advice in his role as our loving Father. I'll go so far as to say that he actually has told us these things through the written word. So what I want to do, I want us to go back through these same words of advice from Joseph, but now let's do so from the perspective of God the Father, giving us his best advice about how to live the rest of our spiritual lives. Now, as in all analogies, they break down at a point. This analogy breaks down because God the Father is not leaving us. He's always just a thought away. But bear with me. Let's go ahead and hear what our Father's advice would be to us. So what we're going to do, we're going to hear these exact same words again that Joseph may have spoken to Jesus. But let's listen to God the Father saying them to us, using these same words of advice, but we'll expand on each one. We're going to do that by quoting from the Word of God. So you might want to just listen to the advice. You are very special to God. You know that. Always put him first in your life. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. You're very special to your mother. She loves you so much. Spiritual Jerusalem is the church. She is the mother of us all. Christ loved the church, gave himself for her. Give no offense to the church of God. Therefore, show to them and before the churches the proof of your love. The church is one. You must be of one mind, I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you've sent me and have loved them as you've loved me. And so he gave some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Always look out for your mother. She depends on you. Love her back. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Besides the other things which come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches, be at peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And so the churches were strengthened in the faith, increased in number daily. Shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Choose your friends wisely. You will need them for support later. The righteous should choose his friends carefully. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not understand what his master is doing. But I've called you my friends, because everything I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend. A friend loves at all times. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And he took Peter and James and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. See, they said, we have left all and followed you. A friend loves at all times. Always be a good child. Be respectful and humble and obedient. What does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve him. Serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Do justly. Love mercy. Walk humbly with your God. Depart from evil. Do what is good. Seek peace. Pursue it. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives. So learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. All of you, be submissive to one another. Be clothed with humility. Speak evil of no one. Be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. And remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, and to be ready for every good work. Since you purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Always do your best at whatever you choose to do. Remember your crafts, the things that I've taught you to do. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Don't be lagging in diligence, but be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies sashes for all the merchants. She watches over the ways of her household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. We hear that some walk among you in idleness, not busy at work, but are busybodies. Now, such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Christ Jesus to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Let your light shine before others so that they might see your good works. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you, he will make him ruler over all of his goods. Take care of your brothers and sisters. They look up to you. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. If one of your brethren becomes poor and falls into poverty among you, then you shall help him like a stranger or a sojourner, that he might live with you. Take no usury or interest from him, but fear your God, so that your brother may live with you. If you are offering your gift at the altar, and there you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar, and first go and reconcile to them, and then come and offer your gift. Let each of you look out not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and my sister. The one who loves God should love his brother also. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. Be happy and filled with joy all the time. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you. I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full, and that your joy may be full. And you'll rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory. And when you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Happy is he who keeps the law. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song. Rejoice sing praises. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, and my soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation, and I'm filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful, even in all our tribulation. So may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you might abound, in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart. Stay away from evil and dangerous things. Pursue only what is true. Lay aside all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Keep your tongue from evil, and keep your lips from speaking deceit. He who would love life and would see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Do not repay evil or insult with insult, but with blessings. Because to this you were called, that you might inherit a blessing. Avoid all appearances of evil. The people of the land have used oppressions, and they commit robbery, mistreated the poor and needy, and they wrongfully oppressed the stranger. And so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. You, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness and godliness. Pursue faith and love, patience and gentleness. And you've carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. And so you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in the truth. And don't forget me. I'll see you again soon. I love you so much. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer, and then you'll seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Just a little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. And because I live, you will live also. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and with great glory. And he will send his angels with the sound of a trumpet. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. And he himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we see God, our Father, giving us the same advice and encouragement that perhaps Joseph, the father of Jesus, may have given to him when he was about to die. We believe, no doubt, that Joseph would have wanted to encourage Jesus to fulfill his potential, to fulfill the very purpose for which he was born, and the purpose for he came into the world. Well, it's exactly the same for us. We're no different. Our Father wants to encourage us to fulfill our potential and to fulfill the purpose for which we were born. And he has spoken these words that we've covered and so much more in the pages of the Bible. So I hope you enjoyed hearing these words from God, our Father, presented in this manner. So why do we do this? What are we to learn about our relationships with God, the Father, with Jesus Christ, and with our fellow family members here? What I really wanted to bring out is that we all need advice from our Father. We need encouragement and guidance and unconditional love. That's what we expect from our physical Father. And that's exactly what God, the Father, has given to us. Are we receiving it? Are we being encouraged, guided, and loved by our Father? Or could we possibly be guilty of, in light of all that he has done and all that he says to us, of becoming discouraged, misguided, and feeling unloved? So let's go back to our physical example. What does a father, or a mother of course, feel like when their son or their daughter will not listen to them? Hurts. It hurts them when their children don't make right decisions and right choices in life. Some of you have been through it. So are we receiving the encouragement, the guidance, and love from our spiritual father and from our mother, the church? Since we're called out members of the Church of God, these are some very basic things that we should know about being encouraged and guided and loved. We shouldn't have to rehearse them over and over and over again, but we do. We do that on the holy days, don't we? God's plan of salvation, how he's preparing us, how he loves us, what our future is. We should always be encouraged, knowing that we are being prepared to become God beings like our Father, the literal children of God, and that we will receive eternal life. How can that not be encouraging? And as part of that eternal life, we're going to be in positions of great authority and power in God's government, literally kings in his kingdom. How far that goes, we have no idea. And we're going to share in that eternal existence eventually with most, if not all, of our physical family members someday, as well as the many church members around you that here that we've all come to know and love as part of our family here. That knowledge should be very encouraging to us. Sometimes we may think the path to that existence, oh, that's not the here and now. The way is too difficult and it's taking too long. That's where guidance comes in. God provides his guidance to us through the Holy Spirit to guide us into the truth but also to guide us into making right decisions. We ask for help and guidance, and it's provided. God says he will be a light to our path, and that we are led on that path in the paths of righteousness. And finally, we should know that we are greatly loved. We've had countless sermons, haven't we, over the years about the love of God. So of course God loves us. We read that. God so loved the world. God is love. That's his definition. And he's changing us into beings just like he is. So that means we are also becoming love. So how could any of us ever feel unloved? How could we ever feel discouraged or thinking, we don't know where to go. We don't know which way to turn. Our Father's there giving us guidance and direction. Our Father would never abandon us, never leave us. He will never forsake us. He's always right there. Are we allowing him to be right there for us? Are we listening to him talk to us? He just did. Are we following his advice? Sometimes children don't follow advice. And just like we're crushed when our children don't listen to us, and they think they know better than us, and they decide to go their own way, so is our Father crushed when we do that to him. He just wants us to listen to him and respond to his love. So I'm pretty sure that if Joseph really did get to talk to Joseph right before he died, tell him how to be successful in life, I think we know Jesus listened to Joseph, his physical father. Now, there's still a few of us who do have younger children to whom we can still offer that encouragement and guidance. I hope you take every opportunity you can to have talks like this with your children. Because so many of our youth over the years have decided to go their own way, to forsake the teaching of their parents about God's way of life. And we wonder why. The pressures and the pulls of this world are very, very strong. Satan has set a great trap. It looks so good. So perhaps we need to make the encouragement and the guidance and the love that's available from God, we need to make that even stronger than the pulls of the world. We need to make the pulls of God stronger. How do we do that? Well, it starts when your children are young. And you repeat the stories over and over again. Keep showing them about the benefit of choosing God's way over the ways of the world. How dangerous the world is. You hear me talk about camps. That's why camp is so important. It immerses our children in God's way of life for a week. Just like we should do that at the feast. We talk about the world tomorrow. Make it so clear about the glorious future that we have to look forward to. They also have a glorious future. Someday our children will be the ones that live on into the world tomorrow. As physical human beings, we call them pioneers of that new world. Or maybe they'll also grow up, be baptized, be in the first resurrection. That's pretty good too. God makes it very clear that we need to teach them while they're young. Deuteronomy 4 tells us that. Let's go there. Deuteronomy 4. We'll Let's start in verse 7. For what great nation? Let's change the word. For what great church is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? For whatever reason, we may call upon him. And what great church is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I've set before you this day? Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget. We are so easy to forget. Lest you forget the things your eyes have seen. We've seen a lot. God's revealed a lot to us. And lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. It has departed from some people. Keep them diligently to yourself. Teach them to your children, to your grandchildren. Especially, now he's going to talk about the Ten Commandments. Especially concerning that day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, the words of the Ten Commandments, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they might teach their children. So I have no doubt that this command is what Joseph would have been trying to do with his son Jesus, as well as the younger children, at least as long as he was able to. So what if there was one last time that Joseph could try to get this across to all of his children, but especially to his oldest son, Jesus? What were Joseph's last words to Jesus? We can only think about what might have been. Someday, I think we'll know the entire story of the relationship with Joseph and Jesus, and how it came to a physical end. Won't they be happy to see each other? But what if? What if a conversation like this actually took place? What did Jesus respond back to Joseph? Again, we cannot know, but we do have the words that Jesus inspired to have written about his own role as a father, as the God of the Old Testament. I believe what we've done today is bring to life the words of the 23rd Psalm. Let's hear this from the Bible in common English. So again, imagine Jesus, that young teenager, responding back to Joseph with words similar to these. You, Lord, are my shepherd. You, God, are my father. You, Joseph, are my father. I'll never be in need. Father, you've led me to rest in fields of green grass. You've led me to streams of peaceful waters, and you refresh my life. You are true to your name. You always lead me along the right path. And yes, I may walk through valleys as dark as death, but I'll never be afraid, because I know you're with me. Your shepherd's rod has made me feel safe. All my life, you've treated me to a feast while my enemies watch. You've honored me as your guest, as your child. And you fill my cup until it overflows. Your kindness and love will always be with me every day of my life. And I'll live forever in your house, Lord. Abba, I know you're always there for me. I know you want to protect me and keep me safe. And Abba, I know you've always taken care of all my needs. You've been the greatest dad ever. I know you love me, Abba. I know you never want to leave me, Abba. Are we responding back to God, our Father, with words similar to that? Do we show our Father that we trust him? Do we tell him? Do we tell our Father that we know he's guiding us in the right way to live, on the right path to walk, and we're not afraid? Do we tell him that we won't be afraid of anything that comes our way because we know our Father will keep us safe? And do we thank him for his abundant blessings, so much our cup overflows? And do we thank him for his kindness and for his unconditional love? Do we appreciate it? Do we know that we're going to be with him, that we're going to live with him forever in his family, in his kingdom? Do we feel the awesome love that our Father has for us? So, are we hearing the wisdom and guidance from our Father? It's as if he's looking us right in the eye and he's pleading with us to listen to what he has to say and to make sure that we do everything he's asking us to do. Children, listen to me. I'm your Father. I know what's best for you. There's extreme love and concern for us as his child. And again, that's exactly what we should do with our children. We talk to them. We encourage them. We guide them. We love them. Let them hear your wisdom. Let them hear about God's way of life, about their future. What if you only had one last time to talk to your children? What would you say? What would you say? What's our Father saying to us? If you had to condense it, what's the greatest encouragement and guidance that he could possibly give us? Would it be something like this? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You did not receive the spirit of bondage to fear, but you received that spirit of sonship, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. We are the children of God. If we're children, then we are heirs. We're heirs of our Father, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we will also be glorified together. And the glory which you gave me, I've given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I and them, you and me, that they might be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you've sent me, and I've loved them as you've loved me. Should we not love and honor a father like this? And so as Joseph finished his final words of encouragement and guidance to young Jesus, Jesus took the hand of his father, and with tears in his eyes, Jesus began to speak. Abba, I love you so much. I will do everything you've asked of me. I'll take care of mom and all my little brothers and sisters. Don't you worry about them. They're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Abba, I will accomplish what I've come into the world to do. But you rest now. I won't forget you either. I'll see you again when you wake up. And we're going to be so happy together forever. Oh, I love you, Abba. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it might be well with you.